Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, did I mention beer? Best selection anywhere. You want to stock up for the weekend, and you want to stock up as soon as possible at Brewers Outlet, because it's going to be a great weekend to be a couch potato and watch all the great football and baseball taking place this weekend. Snacks, soda, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register, gang. Very easy. And on top of it, the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin had to turn his car in today, but fear not, a new one is on the way for Kevin to talk about. He'll discuss that a little bit later. Shamokin and Shikellamy, big game coming up tonight. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, and Kev and the Chief, Dave Ritchie, on the air beginning at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget Lewisburg on the Valley, 100.9. Sealands Grove undefeated on Eagle 107 this evening, and Milton on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP this evening as well. Looking forward to all those broadcasts on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. So a lot going on. Penn State, Ohio State coming up tomorrow night. That'll be an 8 o'clock kick on here on News Radio 1070 WKOK beginning at 6:30. By the way, tomorrow you'll have Army and Bucknell at Mikey Stadium at West Point, and Kevin will be there with Doug Birdsong at Eagle 107. A lot to talk about with Penn State, Ohio State. Let's see, where are we going to take you on our little journey today? Our little journey is going to be as follows. It's going to be with Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football. He's going to join us in just a few moments. Stanley Jackson of BTN, former Ohio State quarterback. Tim May, the outstanding columnist and beat writer for Ohio State football for the Columbus Dispatch, is going to join us today. And Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle. So we have a lot going on today's show, and we're looking forward to bringing it to you today. So we're going to get things rolling with the outstanding play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and men's basketball, who's going to join us in just a few moments. It's Paul Keels, great career, even better guy. Paul and I are very fortunate to be friends for a long time, and my good friend from Ohio State's going to join us in just a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Paul Keels next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You need to stock up for the weekend. This is a couch potato weekend, gang. You've got Michigan, Michigan State tomorrow. You got Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow night. You've got the NLCS, the ALCS. You have the Steelers on Sunday, the Eagles on Monday night. Stock up, stock up, stock up, all at Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, water, soda. They also have snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And on top of it, the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Penn State takes on Ohio State tomorrow night. 8 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm very pleased to bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Paul, it's great to hear you again, my friend.
My pleasure. Always good to talk to you.
All right, Paul. I had Adam Rittenberg on the show last week, and I said, is there a fan base in America right now that is happy? He laughed. And part of that question dealt with your fan base. You're 6-0, but the natives are not happy, are they?
Well, they're a little happier after the Maryland game, but, you know, that was – I kind of had the same discussion with Johnny Holiday, the Maryland announcer, last week.
Yeah.
I guess that's what winning a national championship will do for a fan base, and especially for this team to look as good as they did against Wisconsin, Alabama, and Oregon. But then you have a, you know, a quarterback conundrum. I wouldn't say controversy. I don't know that people realize the significance of some of the players they lost, like Devin Smith and Evan Spencer. And then also you throw in the factor you get everybody's best shot. Not that Ohio State doesn't, but, you know, they're kind of in that position that was very opposed to what they were last year. After an early season loss last year, they were a hungry team that had to play themselves into everybody's imagination. This year it's a team that everybody thought, especially with the way they finished Virginia Tech, that it would be a cakewalk, and it just hadn't been that way.
You've seen a lot of great running backs at Ohio State. What are the qualities that make Ezekiel Elliott special to you?
Well, beside the physical things that us lay people can see, Steve, the thing that you keep hearing the coaches talk about is all of the work that he does away from the ball, the way he blocks, the way he pass protects the quarterback, the way he helps block on the jet sweeps and things like that, the things he does with running pass routes. But I think the thing that we all see is just his continuous effort, the motor that keeps going. And he's a guy that it doesn't take a whole lot to get him going, and if the line gives him a little crease or a receiver gives him a downfield block, he can just take advantage of an opening in a hurry and tear off these 60, 70, 80-yard runs. He certainly is a special one.
No question. So now when you look at Cardale Jones, he's the guy that has started every game. He had the great finish last year. What are you and Jim seeing in him in his growth so far this season?
Well, growth is the key word, Steve, because I think what we've seen at times that hasn't gone well is when he hasn't looked comfortable, when he's looked a little stiff or cumbersome, and at other times where he's just made some bad decisions, you know, for example, in the game at Indiana, in a play in which he eventually was sacked and he should have just thrown the ball into the stands, he didn't do that. But we still do see that arm and that great passing threat that he brings. It hasn't been as magical, for lack of a better word, as it was in those three games of the postseason last year. But you still do see some of the great upside that he brings.
Now you get to, obviously, the parts that they have, so many of them between Marshall, Wilson, I mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, then there's Braxton Miller. Have they settled in or figured out the best ways to use Braxton Miller yet, or is that still a work in progress, Paul?
You know, I think they have all along, Steve, but the problem is, number one, here's a guy that's never blocked in his life, so he had to grow into the blocking part of the receiver assignments. But also the fact that, you know, when he comes on the field, even though he's wearing a different number now, he's wearing number one rather than number five, but everybody's antenna goes up on defense, and so they've had to deal with how can they get the ball to him without it really being a hard-headed force situation. For example, the very first play from scrimmage in Indiana, they wanted him to get his hands on the ball and ended up being a 10 to 12-yard loss just because they wanted to get him involved. But what we saw against Maryland last week was him doing more things, blocking, running routes better, that resulted in him getting some passes thrown to him. So I think they have ideas what they want to do with him. It's just him growing into the position.
You and I have been very fortunate over the years. We've seen some great linebackers, and obviously I work with a great linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
This threesome that you have, how well do they run? How well do they handle the all-around game, all three of those guys?
Maybe as good as any group of linebackers I've ever seen at Ohio State.
Right.
I remember you saying last year that you thought Joshua Perry was the most consistent player in the Big Ten on defense, and I agree with your assessment on that. I think Raekwon McMillan is a young guy that everybody knew coming in that he could be good. And Curtis Grant had a real good influence on him last year as an upperclassman, and he's taken that. And Darren Lee is the guy who really was the X factor in the postseason run last year and still is. He's a former high school quarterback who came as a defensive back. Luke Fickle recruited him, and he had to convince Urban Meyer to give Darren Lee a scholarship because at first they didn't want to. The kid can make plays like a defensive back. He can make plays like a linebacker. It's a group that I don't know that you'll ever think of any of them with a superstar name type of status, but as a unit, Steve, they really, really seem to work hand in glove.
It reminds me of the Connor Pozlesny Lee group here, and all three of them moved on. I see that. I think Lee's the most explosive linebacker in this conference. I mean, he does things that you can't teach.
He does. You'll see him make a play behind the line like a defensive lineman. You'll see him in pass coverage. He's such a disruptor. Here's what I give it credit to. His mother's a news anchor on one of the TV stations in Columbus, so the broadcasting end of it has to have helped the kid somewhere along the way.
You got that right. Everybody knows you become a much better all-around linebacker if you have some sort of broadcasting background in the family. You and I both know that.
Absolutely. But he really is a special player, and you know, he's just a sophomore, a third-year sophomore now, so and you know, there's a lot of exciting things still to come with Darren Lee.
Is Bosa still trying to find that gear, or is he just getting so much attention that it's allowed Lewis to thrive?
I think we've started to see him get into that gear. And, you know, and the other thing is, you know, Steve, a guy that like that is going to draw so much attention from the offensive line. But I think now you're seeing Adolphus Washington play the best football he's ever played at Ohio State. Tyquan Lewis is really at the other end, really coming on. Tommy Shutt is a senior who's one of those typical middle of the defensive line base beaters and occupying type of guys. And Sam Hubbard, who they list playing behind Bosa, but at times they play together. And what I'm getting to is that this defensive line is really a number of people are making plays that I think what teams are seeing now, if they do double up on Bosa, there are enough other guys that are making plays that they can get hurt that way.
There may not be a better safety combination in Powell and Bell. And then you add Eli Apple in at that corner. How much freedom does the back group give Luke Fickell with the other seven or eight guys because of how they play?
A ton. It's been amazing. I think we all thought going into the season this would be a group that would play well in the secondary, but I don't know that anybody expected them to play like this. Von Bell has had a Thorpe Award type of season with the way he's played. Tyvus Powell is the guy that, you know, he's left some plays out there, to be honest with you, some interceptions that he's dropped and things like that. But that's a great leader on the field and plays with such great intensity. And you know, the guy that was questioned is maybe not the right word, but, you know, Garyon Conley took over for Duran Grant.
Right.
And I don't know that anybody expected he would play at the level that he has. You know, I think we knew what they were going to get from Eli Apple at the other corner, but this secondary is much like that linebacking group. This secondary has played just so well as a group, and they've made it tough. They've given up some big passing plays, like the 52-yarder that Maryland got early in the game last year, but by and large, they've really done a good job of locking people down.
Paul, as somebody who's around this team all the time, you watched a team last year that was really dialed in every game. The game here at Penn State, you could just see from Urban on down, everybody was dialed in. Do you see that same focus and intensity now? Are they dialed in as hard as he's trying to make sure they're dialed in?
I think so. And, you know, in that game last year, Steve, as big a win as that was a game where really the offensive line came together. You know, they decided they were going to stop messing around. And you know, the two touchdowns that JT Barrett had running the ball in overtime, that's where the offensive line came together. I think this team is starting to do that. And one of the things that Urban Meyer has done, you know, even this season when they've had games that they've won that have left people scratching their heads, his emphasis has been, hey, 24 hours, enjoy this victory. You know, don't worry about what didn't go right. The coaches obviously are going to be thinking about that. But the message has been, enjoy this win, and then when you come on Sunday, we'll get to work on trying to improve what didn't go well. I don't know that it'd be easy to say, and maybe it's true to this point, the win at Virginia Tech was that way because it was the one team that beat them number one last year. And because I think there was a lot of regard for how good Virginia Tech could be on that night. But I think because they expect the conference play is going to be that much more difficult, they're still looking for what could be considered a signature win because they know they need to continue to keep getting better.
Well, as between the football team and the announcers, they get 24 hours. We take 6 days. So.
That's right. Exactly right.
Paul, my friend, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Look forward to seeing you Saturday, Steve.
Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and men's basketball. And what a great job their network does. Jim Lachey is an outstanding analyst. Marty Bannister on the sideline. Skip Mossack is also somebody that... does a lot of behind-the-scenes work that every network needs, and we've got that in Jeff Tarman and Roger Corey, who are just incredible at what they do. So we will get together tomorrow night in Columbus for the 8 o'clock kick, and don't forget we'll be on the air on News Radio 1070 beginning at 6:30. Tonight, a lot of high school football across the area, including Shamokin taking on Shikellamy in a big game tonight in the standings. Right now, Shikellamy is the number 3 seed looking to win this game tonight. It's a big game at this stage of the season in Week 7. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime with the Chief Dave Ritchie and Kevin Herr. That is the best team in high school broadcasting, and we're very privileged to have them on our air. But we have other great ones as well. Pat O'Brien and gang going to be over and with Ryan Brandt with Sealands Grove tonight. You've got Matt Catrillo with Lewisburg. That'll be on the Valley, 100.9. And Steve Williams will be on WMLP this evening. Talk Radio 1380 as well. All 7 o'clock kickoffs tonight, all 6:30 airtimes, except for Sealands Grove and Eagle 107, because that's going to be a 6 o'clock airtime as well. But that's all coming up tonight, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Shamokin and Shikellamy, with that 7 o'clock start, 6:30 airtime. Tomorrow, Michigan State plays Michigan, Penn State plays Ohio State. It is the defining day in the Eastern Division of the Big Ten. The two winners come out of this at 3-0. You have four teams in the division right now that are all 2-0. They're playing each other tomorrow. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Two winners come out at 3-0 on a collision course and on a fast track to face one another in November at some point. Penn State plays Michigan the 21st and Michigan State the 28th. Ohio State has the game with Michigan on the 28th. They've got Michigan State before that. So everybody is right there on that collision course for big games in November. And the two winners tomorrow are the ones that get on the fast track to that. Coming up on the show as we continue, we're going to have Tim May, the outstanding columnist of the Columbus Dispatch, joining us. He'll be in the 4 o'clock hour. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, he'll be coming up in the final half hour. Next half hour, Stanley Jackson of BTN, former Ohio State quarterback, is going to be joining us to get us his impressions of the game. And you know what? He has developed into a really good analyst, very strong on the air. Like his perspective. I think he's really grown into the job. He's and by the way, one of the easier guys in the world to talk to. And we'll have him on to talk about Penn State and Ohio State, and also some a general feel about the Big Ten at this stage. And then Tim May, the outstanding columnist, who, by the way, is just a lot of fun. He'll be at 4:06 today, and then Rich Scarcella and the Reading Eagle coming up in the final half hour. So, yes, it is an action-packed show. Well, at least as action-packed as we can make it. Our thanks to Paul Keels, who joined us just a few moments ago. If you missed any of it, you can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're now heading to the bottom of the hour. Coming up, Stanley Jackson, BTN, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Bottom of the hour, news next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. It's a couch potato weekend. The weather's going to turn a little down this weekend. In terms of, you know, it's going to be a little chilly out there. So you might as well just sit there and watch football and enjoy the snacks and the peanuts, which are roasted fresh and hot every day. You might as well enjoy the water, the soda, the imports, the domestics, the microbrews, the pickle bar. I mean, have it all ready for you. Stock up. Because you got the ALCS, the NLCS, Michigan, Michigan State. You got Ohio State, Penn State. Yeah, you've got Bucknell coming up at Army. You've also got the NFL on Sunday. So, look, it's a big weekend. So, stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased now to be joined by a guy that's done a great job, in my opinion, as an analyst on BTN. Yeah, I mean, really rock solid in the studio with very good insight into the game. Former Ohio State quarterback Stanley Jackson. Stanley, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Ohio State is interesting in a lot of ways. You played there. And from the outside looking in and the times I've been there, whether it's for football or basketball, I've always felt like that's the one school in this conference that's covered like a pro team. Accurate or inaccurate?
I think it's very accurate. Part of the reason is because the university is so big, the fan base is so large, and then there's no pro football team in the 15th largest city in the country. So it's a lot of reporting to do about sports, and so Ohio State football gets the bulk of that because they have been so good for so long, and I think that's pretty accurate and honest. The only negative to that, though, is, I mean, the expectation sometimes is a little unrealistic for a college football team.
All right, now you look at Ohio State, 460 yards in total offense, 230 each way, yet there is a sense that they're not quite in sync yet. If that is how you feel about it, why? Where aren't they in sync?
Well, I think there's a number of answers to that question. And number one, if you look at what the University of Houston is doing now with Coach Tom Herman as their head coach and
exactly.
How efficient their offense is, I think that gives you a picture as to why you see Ohio State sputtering a little bit. I mean, he was their play caller and what I would call their quarterback whisperer. And that's the position that has struggled a little bit throughout this season. I think it got back on track last week, playing both guys with JT Barrett in the red zone. Cardale Jones had career numbers in completions of 299 yards, two touchdowns, and the biggest stat was no interceptions. So now that they're getting comfortable with the play call, I think the team will get better. And here's the reality. When you're the number one team in the country, you're always going to get the best shot of the opponent. And when I watch the teams that Ohio State has played so far, Northern Illinois, Hawaii, Virginia Tech, the best game that all those teams have played this year is against Ohio State. So I think sometimes you have to be a little patient, especially when you have, you know, significant changes with play calling and coaching. When you take, you know, probably the best offensive line coach and give him more responsibility, there's going to be growing pains, and that's what the Buckeyes have experienced. But it seems like they're back on track now because last week was the best offensive performance they've had.
What kind of help does it give any offense when Ezekiel Elliott is almost as good with the football as he is without the football?
He's fantastic. I mean, when you look at backs and you look at their attributes, and you know, you think everybody, one guy doesn't have it all, but he's one guy that comes pretty close. He's got great balance. His vision is unbelievable. He'll run between the tackles. If he gets to the second level, he will take it the distance. He's been hurling guys as of late.
And then he's outstanding in pass protection. So he is a guy that has the full complement of assets. He's a great back and amongst a lot of really good backs in this conference. And so when you're a quarterback and you know you can hand the ball off and you can stay on schedule with the guy or break a big run, that's a big help. And he is the reason why Ohio State won a national championship. I don't want anybody to be confused about that. I know the quarterback gets a lot of praise, but that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott running for 200 yards a game is by far the reason why they won it all.
Now, what are your thoughts as you've watched Christian Hackenberg and Penn State offensively, especially against San Diego State and against Indiana?
Well, listen, the thing that jumps out is the way they've been able to protect Christian a little more. You know, I mean, they went from being a team that led the country in sacks a year ago, and quite frankly, it looked like they would do it again after that Temple game, and they figured out a way of how to keep him upright. Number one, they've been running the ball a lot better. You still hope that they can get healthy at that position. But, you know, I think they're doing some things different. They're not asking Christian to take 5- and 7-step drops and hold the ball for 15- to 18-yard routes. They're incorporating the screen game, allowing him to throw the quick game, and that creates a rhythm. And then you see at the end of games, he's a lot more confident, you know, because it's hard when you're getting hit at the quarterback position. You start to see ghosts, start to move when you shouldn't. You don't trust your line anymore. So the fact that they've kept him, for the most part, you know, upright, I think is the biggest factor to why he's playing better. And he's finally starting to look like the kid we saw 2 years ago as a freshman who went on the road in the last game of the year and knocked off a ranked Wisconsin team. And that's what they're going to need. He's got to play at a high level if they're going to be able to compete with some of these dominant teams in the East.
When Saquon Barkley has been out there, what has impressed you?
Well, number one, he is a freshman that breaks a lot of tackles and makes a lot of guys miss. I don't think the offensive line is healed. I still see challenges there. I still see, you know, Saquon in particular, you know, making guys miss in the backfield. So that says something to you. But he reminds me a lot of Maurice Clarett.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that's really young and that can do a lot on his own. And that's always very helpful when you can make up for a missed block. And that's what he does well. He breaks a lot of tackles. And then again, he's got it all, too. He can take it the distance if he gets to the edge. He's got great vision. His balance is unbelievable. And it's hard to believe that these kids are so good at such a young age.
All right, let's go two units here. What are your thoughts on the linebacking core for Ohio State?
I think they're arguably maybe the best core in the country.
Yep.
And they've got everything you want in linebackers. They've got size, they've got speed, they've got agility, they've got a guy that blitzes extremely well, they cover well in space. And the thing that's helping them the most is, you know, any great linebacker, I'll tell you, the most important guys are the ones in front of me. Because if they can keep me clean, if they can demand a double team or a triple team, that allows me to flow. I play downhill, you know, maintain my gap integrity and make tackles, and then that's impressive to me. Raekwon McMillan, the youngest of the group, you know, is averaging somewhere around 14 tackles a game. So they just got a really good core group of linebackers, and that's been the catalyst behind their defensive success this year.
Now, Penn State's defensive line, what are your thoughts on that unit?
Yeah, it's just amazing that every year, I mean, maybe I thought it was, you know, Coach Larry Johnson for a while because he had so many dominant guys up front that go on to have great NFL careers. But maybe it's just in the water there at Happy Valley because they always seem to find a guy up front that gets it done. And it's the same thing here. I mean, their defense is as good as anybody in the country. You love the way they get after the passer. They're tough against the run. And again, you know, it's great to have secondary guys. It's great to have good linebackers. But the reality is it's up front that creates all that. And Penn State's as good as anybody in the country. And Ohio State will be challenged this week up front. There's no question about it. There's a lot of question marks for Ohio State's offensive line. They're a little banged up, and they will be tested this weekend.
The season is at the halfway mark. I mean, there'll still be bye weeks for everybody. But for the most part, 6 games in the book with 6 to play across the board. What are a couple of storylines that have surprised you during the course of the season and maybe a couple that have played out exactly the way you thought they would?
Well, I'll start with what I thought would happen is Michigan. I fully expected Michigan to win 9 games this year. And I, you know, looking at the defense they had a year ago, getting Peppers healthy and then bringing in a coach that was going to slow down what they do offensively and not turn the ball over, I thought they could be very competitive in year 1 under Coach Harbaugh. And I think it's proven that out. I mean, he has them playing at a high level. The defense is really good. And getting a veteran quarterback in Jake Rudock, I think, has helped now that he's settled down and he's comfortable in their system.
Right.
So I'm good there. I am a little surprised about Nebraska. I thought Blackshirt's defense would come to play this year. They've been really bad. And then in the last 2 weeks, their offense has a lot of trouble getting going. And sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for. When your fire coach has won 9 games in the last 5 years, only 4 programs have done that. The expectation may be higher than it should. You bring a new coach in who's a good guy but changes some things, then you're going to experience some pains and some struggles, and that's where Nebraska is. So if I had to pick 2 teams to be really surprised about, I think it's those two. Everybody else, I think, is what I fully expected. I thought Michigan State would have some struggles. It's hard to continue to replace guys that are playing on Sundays, and in the last 3 years, Michigan State's put a lot of guys in the NFL. I thought Ohio State would have some growing pains offensively because you just can't, you know, it's hard to replace offensive geniuses, and they'd had to do that with Coach Herman. And mm-hmm. So everybody else, I think, is right where they would be. I did not expect Penn State to lose the Temple. Let me say that. I thought they'd be undefeated at this point during the season. But
sure. But
I think the season has played out so far like you could expect.
Stanley, you mentioned in talking about Nebraska, Mike Riley's M.O., at Oregon State, because Penn State did play them back in 2008, so you get a little better feel about, you know, about a brief part of their history, is that sometimes they do start slow and they get better as the season goes along. But even with that, that's still surprising, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you expect them to win a couple of those games early, especially after you've seen these teams play other opponents, and it doesn't get any easier for them. You know, that's the challenge. You know, out at Oregon State, maybe it got a little easier. I mean, there's only maybe a handful of teams out of Pac-12 the last 15 years that have been good. Even this is probably the best Pac-12 we've seen in a while. So maybe it was easier going up against Washington, has been down for a long time, or you know, a Utah, or, you know, teams that they've added, or Cal, who now looks better. But in the Big Ten, it's a little different now. I mean, look how well Illinois is playing. I mean,
right.
Who just knocked off Nebraska a week ago. You know, Penn State is improved. In the East, you got Michigan playing well. Michigan State, Ohio State is playing well. Rutgers is not a bad football team. And Iowa now has emerged. And offensively, they're a lot more potent. The defense is playing great. Northwestern's defense, still, you don't have to lose to Michigan, is one of the top 10 defenses in the country. And, so when you look at Nebraska and you just lost to Wisconsin, I mean, where do those wins come in? Even Purdue,
right. With
their struggles, even Purdue is improving. And Minnesota, when they get healthy on defense, they get after you. So yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some challenges for Nebraska this year. Losing some of those early games hurts you. Yeah, you got to come through the preseason 3-1, at least, in my opinion. To be able to have an opportunity to sort of make a bowl game. But when you lose more in the preseason than you win, that's a problem.
Right. Stanley Jackson with us, BTN, joining us. Before this month is out, Penn State will end up playing a total of, well, they have 6 now, so they have 9 games. 3 of the 9 will be against teams with interim head coaches. Illinois, Rutgers for the time being, and, of course, Maryland coming up a week from Saturday. We know about the Illinois situation and how that happened, and we know about the Rutgers situation. How do you feel about a team firing a coach in college in midseason?
Well, listen, I don't like it. I don't think any of us like when a coach loses his job. I mean, when coaches take jobs, their families are ingrained into the community. Their kids are in school. You know, their wives do things with players. And it's always sad to see you not letting the guy finish it. But every program has to make decisions based on what they think is best for them. And when you have boosters who aren't happy, especially guys that write really big checks, and that tends to sway an administration. Right? So yeah, you got the founder of Under Armour there who's going to write a large check, who thinks they ought to go in a direction of finding an offensive coach, and people have to listen to them. You know, right now they're trying to raise $125 million to build a new facility. Well, you can't do that if your boosters aren't happy.
Right.
And then, you know, from a locker room standpoint, I think there's some players that maybe he's lost because he's old in his philosophy. He's, you know, somewhat rigid, and he's got a high expectation. And so when you lose the locker room and the boosters aren't happy, then sometimes administrations think that's an opportunity for change. And it's unfortunate for everybody involved because now as an assistant coach, you know, you're wondering if the assistant coaches are going to continue to do the best they can for the University of Maryland, or are they making calls now knowing that they won't be there next year?
All right.
So this affects a lot of people. I never like it when it happens in the middle of the season. But, you know, they're the second team to do that this year in the Big Ten. Bill Cuba has done a phenomenal job, right. I think, at Illinois. And we'll have to see what happens in Maryland.
Yeah. Well, Illinois, I think, probably was between a rock and a hard place on that one. That comes down to other things besides just the football field. So that's a totally different situation.
It is. And here's this is just what blows me away. I mean, college football has changed so much as far as the expectation goes. Last year, we were celebrating Maryland as really having the better effort out of the two new teams who joined the conference.
No question. I mean,
they really did well. They made a bowl game. They knocked off some of the blue bloods in the conference. And just a year later, you know, we fired their coach. Because we're not happy with where the football team is. They've had the biggest drop-off in season ticket sales. And, you know, they've got an empty stadium. So a lot of those things, I think, are playing into this. But it's just amazing that a year ago, everybody was really high on Maryland sports.
Penn State goes down to Baltimore next week. So it'll be very interesting to see how many Penn State fans are at M&T Bank Stadium versus Maryland fans.
I mean, I guarantee there'll be a lot of there'll be a lot of white and blue in that stadium.
Yeah. All right, so now the second half. In the second half of this season, which is also the three quarters of the Big Ten season still to be played, what are some things you'll be watching for that'll be indicators for you?
Well, the first thing, I think we get a great snapshot week one of who's going to win the East, right? You got Michigan State and Michigan, and Penn State and Ohio State. I mean, you got the top four teams in division going at it head-to-head this week, and whoever comes out of this weekend unscathed, those two teams are in pole position to win the East. And so for me, yeah, I think it's a great weekend of college football in the Big Ten. And then I'm just curious to see who comes out of the West. I know Iowa's probably leading the charge right now after knocking off Wisconsin a week ago, and then Wisconsin knocks off Nebraska. But, you know, look, Northwestern is still really good. They can figure out some things on the offensive end. I think they can challenge any of those teams in the West. And so I'm still curious to see who comes out, because I think the Eastern winner really needs one of those teams to run its course. And you'd love for it to be Iowa. And this is why I'm saying that, because all the arguments about how weak the Big Ten is, which I completely disagree with it. But if you can run through a gauntlet, if you're Michigan State, right, and you can beat Ohio State, who's ranked number one, you can beat Michigan, who's now ranked in the top 15, you can beat Penn State that, who knows, maybe try to sneak in the back door. They got a couple of votes this week. And then you can knock off an unbeaten, ranked Iowa. Nobody else in the country can argue that you don't belong. And
right.
That's for any team, I think, out of the East that can go through that gauntlet and then win the Big Ten championship. You will guarantee yourself a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, I completely agree with that sentiment, that having a good team out of the West with a good resume and the Eastern team wins, that really is a big boost, you know, just what they need. Stanley, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always. Always great insight from you. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I love doing it. Look for the next call.
Stanley Jackson, BTN. Great to have him on the show today. Still to come on the show, Tim May, the columnist and beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. Tim loves to talk, and we will talk to Tim. And not only does he love to talk, he gives great insight as well. He's fun to talk to, interesting to talk to, because he mixes in humor at the same time with the ability to drive home some really important points. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show. If you missed any of the show today, Stanley Jackson or Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball, just check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. You do that, and it'll catch you up to date on everything as we preview this game for you. Don't forget, high school football coming up tonight. Selins Grove on Eagle 107 this evening, undefeated. Lewisburg will be on the Valley tonight, 100.9. And we also have Milton on 1380 WMLP. And the game that we'll have for you tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with my good bud Kevin Herr and also the Chief Dave Ritchie will be the showdown between Shamokin and Shikellamy. This is an important game in the playoff race. And Right now, Shikellamy is the number three seed in all of this, and Shamokin's right behind them. So this is an important game in that playoff race tonight. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as we get things rolling. Tomorrow, Bucknell plays at Army. That game's on CBS Sportsnet. Eagle 107 has it with Doug and Kevin, Doug Birdsong and Kevin Hurd tomorrow at 11:30 as well. And then tomorrow night, Penn State, Ohio State at the Horseshoe in Columbus. It'll be an 8 o'clock kick, actually 8:12, and it'll be a 6:30 airtime tomorrow night. Had a long conversation yesterday with probably for about a half hour or so. Talked to Chris Fowler for a bit. And Chris is enjoying the role of being the play-by-play guy. He does miss game day. He does miss it. I mean, you've done something for 25 years, you're going to miss it. And he said, yeah, I do miss it. Yeah. But at the same time, it was a good move on his part to just lock in on one. Coming up, we will talk with Tim May and then Rich Scarcella. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.